Well, there's nothing automatic about hearing from God, is there? It's like the child who was told by his dad during a symphony orchestra concert, "Listen for the flutes in this song, son. Don't they sound beautiful?" Well, the child was unable to distinguish the flutes, and he looked up at his dad with a puzzled look and said, "What flutes, Daddy?" You see, the child first had to learn how to distinguish or to hear the flutes by themselves before he could hear them in that symphony. And it's much the same with you and me as children of God, as followers of Jesus. We have to tune our ears to hear the voice of God. And unless we take the time to hear his voice in the quiet moments of life, just like we observed here a moment ago, we'll never be able to hear his voice when you get that full symphony of life going on around us at all times. Well, this morning, as it's been mentioned, I'm concluding this series entitled, Does God Still Speak Today? And I want to leave you with five pretty simple principles that the Bible both assumes and proclaims in many places. And I want to look at just two texts this morning that underline those five principles. The first one is in the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. And before we read that, let me just kind of set the scene and explain the situation here for a moment. Moses, the godly leader of the people, is just about to die. And before Moses passes into eternity, he took the opportunity to renew the covenant between God and the people of Israel. Now, what's a covenant? Well, a covenant is similar to a contract. It's a formal agreement between individuals or groups of people. And Israel had entered into a covenant with God some 40 years before at Mount Sinai. And God had promised to lead and protect the people of Israel and to give them full possession of the land of Canaan, which we call present-day Israel. But God expected something in return. A covenant is always a two-way relationship. He expected his people to worship him and obey him. And almost immediately, the people of Israel failed to keep their part of that covenant. And as a result, God refused to let them enter into Canaan. And he allowed all of the adult generations of Israelites to just wander around in the desert until they died off. And then in Deuteronomy 30, Moses is encouraging a new generation of Israelites to renew this covenant with God that their parents and their grandparents had rejected. And let's turn to that passage now. And please just use the Blue Pew Bible, your own Bible, your tablet, your phone, whatever you use to bring up the scriptures. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to begin reading at verse 11 and read through verse 20, a powerful passage of God's word. Let me start at verse 11. "Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." Again, this is Moses speaking, verse 12. "It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, And if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, turn with me now to the New Testament, and to something that Jesus said in Matthew 4. Again, what's the scene? What's the situation? Well, it's early in Jesus' ministry. And in chapter 4, Jesus tells this story about a farmer who goes out and plants seed in his land. And some of the planted seed produces a wonderful crop, while other seed, for a variety of reasons, never germinates, never produces anything. And then Jesus explains the meaning of this story to his bewildered disciples. And he tells us there that the seed is God's voice, or it's his word. And the land or the soil is people's lives. And some people, says Jesus, hear God. They respond. They end up living these incredibly productive lives as a result. Other people, however, ignore. They resist God's voice. And as a result, their lives result ultimately in nothing. And as a kind of a summary of that story and its meaning, Jesus says something interesting there in Mark chapter 4, verses 23, 24, and 25. That's what I'd like you to just read with me together just now. Again, Jesus is speaking, and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. By the way, that was one of Jesus' favorite sayings. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he continues in verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Well, those two texts underline for me five simple but important principles when it comes to this whole matter of God speaking and you and me hearing from God. Here's the first one. God speaks. God speaks. Both Moses and Jesus assume that God speaks to us, don't they? You could even say that Moses is a little bit in your face about this, because he says, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. Jesus is a bit more subtle, but his assumption is exactly the same. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. So the issue is not whether God speaks. Of course God speaks. Of course God has a voice. Bible's utterly clear on the matter. God is a person who loves to communicate with his creatures. He does that in a wide variety of ways. God has spoken, and he still speaks to us in his word, the Bible. God has spoken, and he still speaks to us in things like dreams and visions and nature and signs and wonders and through angels and in circumstances and through other people. Sometimes we heard from Eric this morning, just in times that you study something, God speaks to you. inner promptings or leadings of the Holy Spirit. So the real question isn't, does God still speak today? Here's the real question. Are you listening? Am I listening? That's the question. Just because you don't hear God speak to you doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to you. No, friends, it's far more likely that the problem is that your spiritual ears and mine just aren't attuned to God's voice. We're just not on his frequency. We don't know how to turn the radio dial to bring him in. Well, let's move on. Principle number two is this one. God speaks in order to accomplish his purposes. You say, well, Rick, that's rather obvious. Yes, but it's so easy to forget it. It's definitely an assumption by both Moses and Jesus. You see, God had called out the people of Israel for a specific purpose. What was it? To be the channel of God's revelation and salvation for the rest of the world. That's what he wanted Israel to do. That's why God had spoken to them. And in Jesus' story, the purpose of the seed, God's word or his voice, is to produce spiritual fruitfulness. And Jesus, again, paints the picture. He says, others like seed sown on good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. It's important to remember why God speaks to you and me. Folks, of course God speaks to us to give us a word of comfort. Maybe to reinforce a wonderful truth, to provide a necessary perspective as we live out our lives. All that's wonderful. But God's ultimate purpose in speaking to you and me is not to amuse us. It's not to entertain us. And here's the part that we sometimes miss. God's primary purpose is not to guide you, not to lead you, not to help solve your problems in life. God doesn't exist to help you to find a job or get a spouse or have more money or enjoy better health or figure out your future plans. That's not the primary reason that God speaks to you and me. His purposes are always and forever about redeeming a lost world to himself by drawing you and others to himself. He wants to build his kingdom. And he wants to get you and me involved in helping to build it. He wants to transform your life and mine in every possible way. And so if you're just trying to hear God for selfish, self-centered reasons, it's likely that you'll be disappointed. If your life isn't devoted to his purposes, what he wants done in this world, why should God speak much to you at all? Are you here to do God's will, or do you kind of think that God exists pretty much to help you do your own will? Are you just trying to use God to advance your own projects and plans in life? If so, my friend, then don't expect God to speak much into your life. You know, here's a sad reality, and that is that very few human beings really want to hear what God has to say to us. The fact is that we rarely want to listen to God's voice unless we get into serious trouble or we're faced with a difficult decision. But my friend, if you're eager, if you sincerely want to hear God's voice, you're just as eager to hear from him when life is uneventful and frankly kind of dull. Let me ask you, do you seek God's voice only when the circumstances in your life become uncomfortable? Help, God! Well, God is faithful and generous and gracious to answer, but is that the only time that you really seek God's voice? You see, on the one hand, your failure to hear his voice when you want might be due to the fact that you don't in general want to hear it, but only when you think you need to hear it. And on the other hand, when your life is truly devoted to doing God's will first and foremost, in other words, his purposes, his plans are the ones that matter. He has every reason to speak to you, and he will. He will. Principle number three. Truly hearing God means obeying God. When you truly hear God, you obey God. Now, can you hear God's voice and ignore it, reject it, twist it? Of course. Happens every day all over the world. And even as followers of Jesus indwelt with the Holy Spirit, it probably happens in your life and mine more than we would care to admit, yes? And both Moses and Jesus assume that you and I have a kind of a choice in how you hear God's voice. Listen again to what Moses says. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set you before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. In other words, you've got a choice. He points out the wonderful benefits of doing whatever God wants you to do, and then he spells out the dire consequences of hearing God's voice but not doing what God says to do. And again, Jesus said, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. In other words, you have a choice. My friend, you and I make the choice to hear God authentically and correctly every day. And the bottom line is this: truly hearing God means obeying God. I mean, that's how you prove that you've really heard the voice of God in your life. Do we obey him? Well, my friend, however God might speak into your life and mine, maybe a Bible verse that he impresses on your mind, a divinely orchestrated circumstance, a piece of advice from a godly friend, a gentle leading of the Holy Spirit that you might receive in a time of prayer, it will likely require you to adjust yourself to God. It will not be about God adapting himself or adjusting himself to your plans and your desires. You see, it's impossible to hear God and then obey God without making some kind of an adjustment, some kind of a change in your life. I think of, for example, of Jesus' story about the prodigal or the lost son. There was that hungry, dirty young man living with a bunch of pigs after squandering his inheritance on prostitutes and parties. How did Jesus put it? When he finally came to his senses. Another way of saying when God finally got through to him. Okay? When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father. He adjusted himself to God. God didn't adjust himself to that lost son. The voice of God spoke into that young man's life, and he obeyed. So truly hearing God means that you obey God. All right, very simple principle number four. Disobeying God's voice invites disaster. Invites disaster. Both Moses' challenge and Jesus' story, boy, they underline that truth clearly. Moses tells the people of Israel and us what? But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient and you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them. By the way, folks, idolatry is not just the worship of a physical god. It's whatever we give our hearts to. I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. And in the story about the four kinds of soil, Jesus makes it clear that three of those four soils were actually three ways of disobeying God's voice. And they all ended up, all three of them ended up in disaster. When you disobey God's voice, you invite disaster upon yourself. And brothers and sisters, that is a principle that just runs through the whole of Scripture. And I wish that even God's people, followers of Jesus, would realize the truth of this principle to a far greater degree than we do. For example, let's talk about money and sex, okay? What does the Bible say about money? I mean, what are just the general overarching principles about money? Well, in general, the Bible says, work faithfully to earn a living, learn how to live within your means, manage and save your money responsibly, avoid debt like the plague, return to the Lord as a beginning minimum, the tithe, or 10% of your income, have enough money left over to help those who are in need. Have a generosity about you. And yet over 30 years as a pastor, folks, I can tell you that I have seen so many Christians ignore the voice of God when it comes to something like money. There's always a justification. There's always a rationale. There's always an excuse not to follow what God says in His Word about money. And so as a result, Christians bring financial disaster upon themselves, which often leads to other disasters in other areas of life. What does the Bible say about sex? It's God's great and beautiful creation reserved for a husband and a wife. Sex outside of marriage is not an alternative lifestyle choice according to God. It's disobedience to His voice. And yet I cannot tell you over the years as a pastor how many Christians I've seen that, well, God just doesn't understand. If God really knew what was going on, He would justify my behavior. If He really understood, this would be fine with God. And so as a result, all Christians, we listen to the voice of our culture rather than the voice of God in this area of sex, and we invite disaster into our lives. Spiritual, relational, emotional, physical disaster. You know, disobeying God can have other disastrous effects too. Did you know that it can increase the probability that God will just stop speaking to you altogether? God is a person. And many of the laws of relationship apply to your relationship with Him as well. And if you're speaking to someone and he or she persistently and stubbornly ignores you day after day, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to stop speaking to him or her, aren't you? You conclude that it's just a waste of your time and energy. And may I suggest then to you that an entrenched, a rebellious, a stubborn, stiff-arm attitude towards God's voice invites him to stop speaking into your life altogether. I actually think that Jesus alludes to that possibility here in Mark 4. He says there, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And I used to think that that last part of that passage referred to, you know, the giving of our time and talent and treasure to the Lord. But when I looked at that passage again, I wondered if Jesus was in fact referring to this whole matter of hearing and obeying the voice of God. In other words, my friend, if you listen to the voice of God and obey it, you start to hear it more. But if you resist His voice by ignoring it and rejecting it and twisting it, even the little that you have heard from God will be taken away from you. What could be a greater disaster than God no longer speaking to you or to me? What if God would look down and say, Rick, I have been been knocking at the door of your life over and over again, I'm done. I'm not speaking to you anymore. I can't imagine a greater disaster than that. Pastor and author Henry Blackaby writes about the first funeral he ever conducted. It was for a beautiful 3-year-old little girl. She was dearly loved by her family, but she was spoiled. And he'd observed how she loved to just ignore her parents' instructions. When they told her to come, she'd run away. When they told her to sit down, she'd stand up. And foolishly, her parents thought that that behavior was kind of cute, and they'd just laugh at her disobedient antics. And one day, the gate in their front yard, their home, was left open accidentally. The little girl took off full steam through the gate towards the street. And to their horror, mom and dad saw a car racing down that road towards her. And they both screamed at that little girl to stop. And she paused for a moment. She laughed gleefully. And then she turned and ran directly into that oncoming car. Brothers and sisters, how we need to hear the voice of God when he says to us, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Very simple principle number 5. Obeying God invites blessing. Obeying God invites blessing. Obeying his voice is the choice you and I need to make every day, isn't it? We do what we hear him say. Obedience to the voice of God invites his blessing into our lives. Notice again what Moses says, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." And Jesus tells us about that one soil that just produced this incredible bumper crop, exponential blessing. In other words, just blessing everywhere. And it is submissiveness to the voice of God that invites God to continue to speak into your life. Jesus says, "With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more." Now, just a clarification about that word blessing, because I think particularly in America, we have a tendency to misunderstand that. Yes, in general, if you obey the voice of God, my friend, you're going to have less problems and enjoy a happier life overall. That's true. I mean, if you just train yourself to listen to the voice of God, you're going to have a happier life in general than someone who does not. But we have this human tendency, whenever we hear that word blessing, to equate it with no problems, no challenges, great health all the time, ever-increasing financial wealth, and everything just going our way all the time as it should. And blessing from a biblical perspective is all wrapped up in whatever advances the kingdom of God in this world, not what makes life easy and pleasant for us. Last week we looked at how Saul, who changed his name to Paul, and Barnabas, two early Christian leaders, heard the voice of God along with some other leaders. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit said, "Separate or set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And so they went off to share the message of Jesus with lost people in cities and communities in what are now the countries of Cyprus and Turkey and Greece. I mean, what an incredible blessing to be called by God to announce the message of Jesus. But if you've read the rest of the book of Acts, you know how the rest of the story goes, don't you? And in some places, Paul and Barnabas were, well, they were warmly embraced and received, and lives were transformed and churches were formed. But in other communities, people weren't particularly thrilled by Paul and by Barnabas and their message. And those two faithful servants of Jesus were bitterly persecuted. In fact, in one city, Paul was stoned and left for dead. Meaning what? The blessings and the reward is in knowing that God is somehow, when you listen to his voice, he is somehow furthering his kingdom and releasing his grace into the world through you. Don't ever, ever, ever buy into the idea that everything that God prompts you to do will be uncomplicated and will not cost you anything. Sometimes God is going to ask you to carry heavy loads. Sometimes he's going to call you into a difficult assignment. To put it another way, obeying God isn't always easy or fun or pleasant, but it is nevertheless always a blessing. Folks, I just want to make sure you understand this. When God speaks into your life and he asks you to do something for him, it will often mean giving up something. It might be your agenda. It might be your finances. It might be your priorities. It might be your comfort. It will mean surrender at some level, the giving up of something. Sometimes the safe and the predictable have to be given up, because this is what a life that is fully surrendered to God looks like. And obeying the Holy Spirit will lead you into places, my friend, that you have never been, challenge you in ways that you've never been challenged, invite you into levels of sacrifice that you have never dreamed that you would make. Well, then why do it? Because you love that Jesus who died and rose again for you. That's about really the only good reason. Because you love Jesus. And also, it's the knowledge that you're helping to build what is most important and will never end, the kingdom of God. I thought about that this week. You know, we spend so much time looking at all the leaders in the world who do this and that for their countries. Do you know the least servant in the kingdom of God is of more eternal value than any political or worldly leader? Because we're serving that which will last forever, the kingdom of God. And also, there's that wonderful promise that God will indeed reward all those who have not just heard his voice, but have obeyed that voice fully and freely. I don't know what those rewards will look like, but I want my share. Don't you? Aaron McManus, when he was 5 or 6 years old, he would sometimes ask his dad, Irwin, a pastor, he would say, "Daddy, what does the voice of God sound like? What does the voice of God sound like?" Well, Irwin could never figure out a way to explain that so that a 5 or a 6-year-old mind could take it in. A few years later, Aaron went off to his first junior high church camp experience. And Irwin went up there in the middle of the week just to check on the young people, encourage them, just kind of see what was going on up at camp. And when he got up to the camp, he found out that his son Aaron had basically gotten into a fight with another kid at the camp. And Aaron had been the aggressor. And he had taken this kid on, so much so that they had to be pulled apart. And Aaron was completely unrepentant about what had happened. And he was angry, he was upset, and he wanted to go. He went and got his sleeping bag and all of his clothes and everything, and he stuffed them in his dad's car and just kind of waited until they were ready to head off. He was done with camp. And before they left, Irwin took his son aside and said, Aaron, why don't we go and talk about this a little bit? So there they were out in the woods, both of them sitting on two big rocks. And Irwin asked his son, Aaron, do you hear anybody speaking into your heart and your mind right now? And Aaron said, yes. What's that voice saying, son? It's saying that I should stay and work it out. Well, son, can you identify that voice? Yes, Aaron said immediately, it's God. And his dad, Irwin, said, Aaron, do you realize how significant and important that is? Forget everything else that has happened. You recognized when God spoke into your soul. Do you realize how important that is? That you know that it was God that spoke to you. You recognized him. And Aaron's response was, yeah, but I'm still not going to do what he said. And then Irwin explained to his son, Aaron, that that was his choice. But that our choices have consequences. And if in this particular instance he hardened his heart to the voice of God and he dulled his ears, he would begin a journey down a pathway that would mean just kind of being a nominal follower of Jesus Christ. But if, on the other hand, he responded to that voice and he obeyed it, and his heart remained soft, his ears would be that much more attuned to the voice of God as he walked through life. Fortunately, Aaron decided to stay at camp, and he worked it out. It was a critically important decision in his young life. Because as his dad says, and I think it's true, you begin to take a movement away from God and it just gets easier and easier and easier to move away from God. And pretty soon, God no longer speaks into your life anymore. On the other hand, if you and I can keep our hearts soft and keep one ear trained toward heaven, we continue to move in a direction in which God can continue to speak into our lives, and we can preserve and grow that most important relationship of all. Well, back when we began this journey a few Sundays ago, we started off with the story of Samuel, remember? And how this young boy heard the voice of God for the first time, and when he first heard it, he thought that it was Eli, the old priest, that was calling to him. And he kept going to Eli saying, you called me. And Eli said, no, I didn't. Finally, Eli says, Samuel, go back and lay down. God's trying to speak to you. And when he speaks to you, Samuel, you say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And I introduce you to the words of a hymn. Go ahead and bring it up there. That was written many years ago that we've been using kind of just as a prayer of response, a prayer of invitation to end our services during this particular series of messages. And I would just encourage you one last time today to offer up these words to the Lord as just a prayer of response to him, a prayer of invitation that all of us and each of us would keep at least one ear pointed toward heaven at all times, ready to hear what God wants to say to each of us. So would you offer this up with me out loud in prayer as a prayer of response to the Lord? Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all. Father God, there is no one in this room that has failed to hear the voice of God. Everyone in this room has heard it in some way at some time. Lord, some of us have done better than others at hearing and obeying that voice. But Lord, it is also true that every person in this room has also failed to hear the voice of God, or has rejected it, or has ignored it, or has disobeyed it. The Bible calls that sin. And each of us are sinners before a holy and a righteous God who speaks his grace and his love into our lives. All of us need you so very desperately. And Father, we come as individuals, we come as a church before you, asking for your forgiveness for those times in which we have just flat out disobeyed you. We've ignored your voice. We've rejected it. We've twisted it so that it became something other than what you said to us. Lord, we ask your forgiveness today. And Father, we realize that not listening to your voice is serious stuff. That if we fail to listen, if we make that a habit, pretty soon we just stop hearing from you altogether. But Lord, if we keep trying to hear you and listen to you, and yes, we fail and we fall down sometimes, but we come back with a repentant heart and we seek to reestablish that relationship. Lord, if that's truly our heart, then you're going to keep speaking to each of us. Father, we haven't got all this hearing and listening from God stuff figured out yet. But I pray that each of us would have the same heart attitude that we saw in that young boy, Samuel. He didn't even know who was speaking to him when you first started speaking into his life, but he had a godly friend who taught him to say what we really need to say each and every day. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Because your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen.